show you what a professional Mary Van Velde is. She goes individually, roadway by roadway, highway by highway, and tells you about the slowdowns. I would just say every road is screwed up. There's not a single street, roadway, lane, boulevard that's not messed up by the weather.
I kind of did that earlier.
Did you?
Because every road was bad. Now yeah. We're only down to a few, so I can kind of name them. But yeah, when I got in here this morning, oh boy.
Yeah, because the plows, see, here's my question, and I know they do a great job, but they knew it was coming. It was delayed because I think it was supposed to start snowing in our area like at 9, and by 11, it still really hadn't started yet. So
I could hear plows almost all night by me. I could hear them going down our street, and we live close to a major street. I could hear them plowing the street. So they did know, they, you know, in some cases, every place is different.
Yeah.
They jumped on it.
So how was it when you came in this morning, Mary, and at what time?
I came in, I left my house about 3:45, and it was terrible. I was on, I take Roosevelt to the Eisenhower, and I couldn't see the lanes, I couldn't see anything, and the snow was really coming down.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that always happens when I come in, because the plows really don't get going till like 4:35. I mean, they're on the side of the road, you know, and they try to keep up overnight, but it was just coming down all night.
It really was.
So they couldn't keep up, and, you know, and they were just, we had the IDOT guy on this morning. And he was just telling us how
did he cry?
No, poor guy. I was like, you know, because everybody asks him, why don't you get started earlier? Well, they do,
right?
You know, but then they have to go out sporadically, and then they have to catch up, and then when they catch up, and then it was blowing and drifting.
That
doesn't help because it gets back on the road. So it's just a never-ending cycle. But the roads are much better now. I mean, my gosh, they're like clear. Except the Stevenson is still kind of bad.
And do we attribute that mostly to the fact that anyone who was, or most people who were going someplace to work or to school
are already there?
Is that why?
I think a lot of people were working at home today.
Oh.
So these were the people that were stuck out there that actually had to come into work, and they're all here now. And,
yeah.
And nobody went to school either. So.
Oh, well, schools, you know, are open.
Well, some
are. Some are, some are not.
Chicago are.
Chicago,
our district had a late start day.
Yeah.
Our district would. Contacted us what time? Like 10:30 last night.
So for the whole day off.
To tell you that it was off.
The day off. Yeah,
the north suburbs pretty much are off. You know, Antioch, all the schools up there, Lakeview. I'm pretty sure they're all.
Unless Ray Rayner tells me there's no school, Wendy, I'm going to school.
Attaboy.
He's the only one I trust.
My feeling here is that Wednesday there's going to be a lot of call offs too, because a high of 8 below or something.
I think worse.
-15 is what we're saying.
-15
for the air temperature. At the bus stops and you got
pipes that could burst. I mean, this is the time when you want to drip your sink, you know, have that going and have your cabinets open just so it doesn't freeze up.
Speaking of pipe bursts, on Thursday I was on my way home and one of my neighbors, their front lawn, which was intact when I left for work, was gone. A pipe had burst in their yard and they were trying to find it and fix it. And they dug up there, and I have no idea what that cost, but there were 6 guys out there pulling up their whole front lawn. It's
gone. That'll be replaced if it's village piping that broke.
I would hope. Oh, so they're not responsible, right?
I doubt it.
The family whose house it was in front of?
Unless they installed the pipe.
But because of that now, and Lou Manfredini was just down with Steve talking about it, we've got water running in every, I don't know if you need to do every faucet. Do you do one or do you
just
do
the outside walls? We have a shower that, oddly enough, that the pipes don't freeze there, but the drain freezes.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if Lou told me or I read it somewhere, but I have kosher salt.
Oh, that's very nice of you to reach out to other other religions.
No,
Wendy.
I just like it because I pretend I'm a chef and I have it in a little salt cellar and I can put it in my cooking.
Oh.
But they say to put that in the drain, and it has worked, although I've probably wrecked my drain.
Oh, I hope not.
But I put a little salt in there. Like tonight, I will put some in there.
Yeah.
And hopefully it won't freeze.
Now, usually, you like to rub salt in people's wounds. Are you still doing that this weekend or not at all? Are you done with that?
I am not in the mood today.
Not in the mood? All right.
Although,
I got to tell you this. On Saturday, I'm driving home from somewhere and I'm almost out of gasoline. And I have one. I know a lot of cars have this now. You push a button to your left when you're driving. On like your door, and it opens up your gas tank, you know, the old kind of
vehicle
putting a
that.
Key
yes.
in that. All right, so that's completely frozen.
That's
completely
why you
frozen.
Have to keep your tank full before it gets cold, because if it does freeze, you are screwed.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I thawed it out.
How?
I just
you thought it out or yeah, thought it out?
Thought it out. I said, what would Charles Darwin do in a situation like this? I used things in my car to like pry it. I have like
what? I just want to hear
a lot of religious pamphlets. I have a bunch of religious pamphlets.
Do you have a screwdriver?
I do not have a screwdriver. You know me, right? What would I do with a screwdriver? I've got the
pry
orange
open
juice.
Your gift.
I just don't have the other. I tried everything that was in that compartment in the middle of your car. You know how you have that
the
little
glove
center?
Compartment?
No, not the glove compartment. There's that part that's between you and your passenger.
Yeah.
And it opens up and you just throw junk in there.
The console
so everything
or
that was in my console I used. And it took about 15 minutes. And I kept saying to the guy, what do you do in a case like this? He goes, you got to come back tomorrow. He didn't want any part of me. You got to come back another time when I'm not working. Here's my schedule. Come by on Thursday or Friday.
I have a suggestion that I just came up with, and I don't know if it'll work. So if anyone knows, I might be screwing everybody on this.
Blowtorch.
No, perhaps tonight before the frigid weather,
yeah.
Spray the hinge of your door with WD-40.
Oh, that's
would that work? I bet it would.
I think it would.
I'm gonna. Do you have WD-40?
No.
Of course not.
No, I've got Five Alive and some Sunny D.
I think that'll make it worse.
It would. Yeah,
I wonder
I bet,
if that would work. I'm going to do that.
I
tonight.
Bet WD-40. I look. You and I are no Lou Manfredini.
No,
but I would imagine because what do they say in the commercials for WD-40? What do you have that sticks or squeaks? And that would be sticking. So yeah, I'll spray that down. See what that does. I'll spray my whole car with it.
You are wrong, Wendy. If the pipe is between your house and the main water line, it's the homeowner's responsibility.
That's my fear. Because it, to me, I'm looking at it and I'm seeing six guys and three big machines digging up a yard. And I go, that's going to be in the tens of thousands of dollars.
Hmm.
And they were there all day.
That's bad.
I know.
All right. Someone else has a message for you, Bill. Good morning, Bill. Just to let you know, I thought about you this morning a while back. You've talked about no good deed goes unpunished.
The truest words in the English language, I'm sorry to say.
Well, that has happened. I bought my mother-in-law a new snowblower. I went home, woke up this morning, and my snowblower didn't start.
Oh.
Go take yours back from your mother-in-law.
That still doesn't qualify, because that wouldn't have would that have changed at all if he didn't buy his mother-in-law a snowblower? I don't think that would have changed.
Yeah, but it is kind of ironic that he makes sure she's all set up.
Yeah, and then you suffer.
All right, well, we are here for you because we made it in. I'd left probably about a half an hour earlier than usual.
And got here a little earlier, right?
Yeah, it took me about an hour 45.
That's not bad.
No.
What are the plans for Wednesday? You guys already plotting that out?
I'm feeling sick.
Right.
Going on location.
Well,
Wendy's home.
I have a Toyota Highlander, which has a snow button that you can like click and yeah. then
to make it snow.
Yeah,
it
yes.
makes it snow.
So sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
But no, the traction is different. Now, somebody also said there is in some of the newer cars when you put it into drive. If you go the other way, it says S, like slow gear or sport gear.
Snow gear.
So somebody said that maybe that's a good idea to put it. It just so the engine doesn't rev as quickly and so the tires don't move as quickly and you get better traction.
And how do you get to that? What
well,
do you need to do?
Check your owner's manual, okay? Because right. I don't want to tell people this is just what a listener text did. There is, like when I put it in drive, it says D, and then, like, if I push the joystick to the other side, there's an S.
Oh.
And I don't know what that means.
And did you say some cars have that or all cars have that?
Some cars.
It's like a hidden gear. It's like the hidden menu at McDonald's or Burger King. You have to know it's there for it to really exist.
That is kind of it. But just check your manual.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Well,
I don't
maybe
know.
It's not
maybe
in your
it's
car.
Not in my car.
And I do have a snow button.
I drive a DeSoto. I wonder if...
you get good traction.
Yeah, you have four-wheel drive, don't you?
I do.
No, I'm talking, no.
Me, I
yeah,
yeah.
You have the S with the for the snow.
Yeah, but I actually have a snow button, like yeah. in the console that I can hit.
Yeah.
And it doesn't rev as quickly, you know? And then we have a little Toyota Corolla that's like a 2007, and from what I understand, that was all over the road this morning.
I can imagine.
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to stop snowing, and then it'll be ice, so the snow tires and snow gears won't help anyone.
Right.
So, yay!
Yay!
It's going to be cold, so cold that salt won't work. the chemicals.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was possible. Yeah.
Although I heard Tom Skilling say that they added something new to it, so it works in lower temperatures, but this is going to be ungodly low.
Yeah. Yep.
So I hope
all bets are off.
I hope God has a salt shaker.
Hope so. Oh, no. Are you okay?
Yeah.
You know, said sports differently.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm at a slumber party.
Is
I'm
that
all
why?
Comfy and cozy.
Didn't you have a slumber party over the weekend? You did, right?
We just did a girls' night. It was like not a sleepover, but a sleep under. We just stayed there, had pizza and salad and Manhattans, and we were going to watch a movie, but we kept talking, so we never got to the movie.
Mm. Was there a pillow fight? That's a legitimate question.
I guess the S button, and a lot of people are saying, and I preface this by saying, check your manual. It means sport mode for transmission, which basically means it turns your car into manual transmission, and there are little paddles or something under your steering wheel where you can make it a manual transmission as opposed to automatic.
There is?
In some cars, again, no. Check your manual. My first car I bought was a stick shift,
yeah.
So I know how to drive a stick shift,
uh-huh.
Which I wonder if it would be better in this.
Hmm. I've never driven one, so I can't help
really?
You. Yeah, I don't know.
That's cute.
Yeah. I mean, I pretend I do with my standard transmission. I move my hand back and forth
right.
To look like it's a
and
stick.
And you make the noises.
I do that all the time.
I went to buy a stick shift car, and I wasn't quite sure how to. I kind of had a few lessons.
Yeah.
But I went with my cousin Susie, who knew how to drive, and she was going to drive it home. And she wouldn't.
Oh.
So it was baptism
by
fire.
You had to learn
very
fast.
Yeah. And
is it that big of a difference?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to get the feel of it, and every car's clutch is a little different, but
I know people that are like so into the stick shift that they don't ever want to drive anything else because they say it doesn't feel like you're driving. If you have a stick shift, you feel like you're driving, but I'm okay with not feeling like I'm driving.
And it's one thing if you're on the Autobahn, but this
right.
is, you know, usually start and stop
yeah.
traffic, so that's kind of a pain.
I agree.
So yes, the S means it switches from automatic to manual. So again, check your manual.
Mm-hmm.
And I said something about putting WD-40 on the hinge.
You said spray because that what do you call it? A gas cover? Is that what you call it? I don't know
the
what that part
door.
Of your, the gas door. Yeah, my gas door wouldn't open. So it took about 15 or 20 minutes of me prying, and I kept, there's a button inside the car that I pushed, you know, 50 times.
Yeah,
I'm
it was
sure
frozen.
At some point it'll work, but it didn't. I
and
got it eventually.
When you don't have your tank over a half, there's condensation that gets in there and also causes it to freeze even harder. So that's why we told you
right.
to fill up.
I'm going to start listening to you guys.
Wendy Lou Manfredini just said on Steve Cochran's show, don't oil anything in these temperatures, so call him before you oil.
Oh.
So we'll give out Lou's home number.
You can call him.
I guess I won't use the WD-40.
No. Although your theory, in theory, sounds like a good one, because that's what WD-40 is for. But maybe under freezing conditions, it's not.
And then someone else said, I can't find it, but I live in North Dakota or Minnesota or something, and they use sand on the roads
yeah.
when it's frozen. Why don't we do that here?
I don't know the answer to that.
They use in the South quite a bit because they have more sand than salt.
Is that true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
They don't get nearly as much snow as we do there.
Because sand, you know, you get, that's why they also say to carry cat litter in your car to get traction.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're stuck,
mm-hmm.
then you put it underneath, but it would work with gravel as well.
Right. So true.
Don't you have gravel or sand or something in your car?
In my throat. Will that work? I'm not sure that'll work.
All right, Jim has, we're talking gas doors. Hey, Jim.
As we often do on a Monday. How are you, Jim? What's up?
Hey, in your trunk, if you can get around the body you carry, there's sometimes an extra release for your gas door in the trunk.
Wait, really? I have no idea where in my trunk that would be, but that's very helpful.
It would be very close to the gas door on that side.
But wouldn't
but on
it
the inside of the trunk?
Wouldn't it have the
it's
same
probably warmer?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you might be able to reach and pry at the same time you're pulling on it.
Oh, all right. I'll try that.
Reach and pry.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, Jim, I wish you and I could go and sit in the back seat of Bill's car he's driving and say, what does that button do? And he'd go, I have no idea.
There's half the buttons in my car. I don't know what they do.
Hey, Bill, is your radio even programmed?
Yeah, that I know how to do.
Thank you.
I can do.
Thanks, Jim. They also sell de-icers that
right.
you can keep, you know, in your glove compartment or your center console.
So that's okay to spray, just not the UB40.
Right. You proud of yourself?
Yeah, I worked at my favorite reggae band. How about that? That's an added bonus. No charge on that.
That's pretty good.
You're welcome.
Shall we talk about, we're going to do some news, but afterwards, should we talk about some winter hacks? Because I think we need to get prepared for Wednesday.
Jasmine, our producer, has found some very helpful hints that can get you through this cold, frigid temperature season, and we'll give away some of them.
Helpful hints. You today are part Heloise and part Rona Barrett.
Yeah, I am.
I am very proud of you.
Yeah.
Double duty today.
Yeah, double duty. Two duties.
Duty.
That's five duties. And Ryan, to be clear, you're not trying to create a panic, right?
I mean, if people want to panic, I'm not going to stop them.
Right. It's up to everybody individually to decide whether or not to panic.
I mean, I'm just saying now's your chance to go to Jewel and buy up all the milk and bread. Because,
good enough.
Yeah, it's not going to be around
right.
soon.
Right.
You're going to have to survive on your own for the
right.
next 2 weeks, probably.
Did you ever see the movie Children of Men? Where there was just nothing left anywhere. It'll be like that by Wednesday. But we're not trying to panic. No, we're not trying to create a panic.
No, don't panic. You're Chicagoans. No. You guys can handle this.
Yep.
You got this.
We'll be strong.
All right. We have some tips for you. These are winter weather life hacks. And some are good. Some are stupid. I'm warning you now.
All right. Will you tell us in advance if it's a good one or a stupid one, or let us decide?
I can tell you in advance.
All right. That's fair.
This one is sort of kind of what I was talking about. I had mentioned WD-40. You can use it on things, but Lou Manfredini says no. But here's something.
He said consult him first before spraying.
He said don't use any oil or anything because it'll freeze. This, though, if you have Pam cooking spray.
Yeah.
Spray nonstick cooking spray on your shovel, and then the snow will come right off every time. Because I did have an issue this morning.
It kind of cakes on after a while, doesn't it?
The Pam cakes on. Is that what you're saying?
The snow cakes on the Pam. But you can make snow cakes with Pam. Sure, those are not good. They're not good. No.
Unless you're looking for a snow cone type thing,
then they're like
shave ice.
Oh yeah, that's a miracle.
That is a good idea. Are you tired of always having wet socks?
Yes. I'm tired of it.
Slip a sandwich bag over each sock before putting your shoes on. Who is going to do that?
Oh, that looks nice.
I mean, maybe if I was going to a Bears game or something, but just to go to work?
Right. So you say that's a bad one.
Yeah. Here's a good idea. Put a piece of tin foil behind your radiator or space heater. It will reflect heat back into the house instead of losing it forever. Space heaters worry me. I have a fireplace that needs to be rebuilt, and that is not first on our budget list.
Yeah.
So I bought an insert for like $120.
Mm-hmm.
It might be made by Duraflame, actually, and you plug it in, and it's a fake fireplace insert, but it is also a heater.
Oh.
So we've been using that, but it worries, like, I don't like to leave it on all the time.
Why? You never hear about space heater accidents, ever.
Although I feel if it starts a fire, it's already in the fireplace.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
That is a good place for it to be. Leave your window shades and blinds open in the daytime to let the sun naturally heat the house. But I don't agree with that.
Because why?
I just feel like if you have your blinds or curtain closed, won't that further insulate your house? I mean, if the window's ice cold, isn't that going to make the room colder?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know where my daughter heard about this, but it's been working. You know that little crack that's by, okay, so most people have a door and then a screen door or mm-hmm. something like that. All right. So you know the crack that's at the bottom of your door? So she puts...
Weather stripping?
No, like a yoga mat or something to block.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And it works.
Yeah.
We're in much better shape, too.
On that door.
I don't think we do.
There's
too much space.
Yeah.
Like a lot of doors go right to the floor, and ours is, there's like a third of an inch.
You can add weather stripping. It's like, it's adhesive.
And Lou came up with a great thing over the weekend. I was listening to his show, and actually I emailed Lindsay about it, it's called Zip Away.
What does that do?
It's a temporary caulk. So if there is like a little gap or something like that you find in your windows or doors, you can put this caulk in there and then just, you know, a couple days go by, you pull it out.
Yeah, but that wouldn't work on the bottom of your door because you're opening.
My door would be sealed.
The door, no.
Yeah. Not
that
door.
But if you've got any windows that might be loose or, you know, little air places where air is seeping in. Yeah, I went to the grocery or the hardware store over the weekend and grabbed some. Used it yesterday.
Oh, and it works like a charm?
Seems like it. I mean, we'll see when I pull it off if it doesn't take the window with it, but I think we'll be okay.
This is from weather.com, and they say a spray of WD-40 can keep a keyhole from getting frozen.
On your car or your house?
Doesn't
or both?
Specify.
Either one. Again, you got to. Lou insists that we call him first before spraying anything.
You should try and call Lou and Jasmine. Jasmine, we need to get Lou Manfredini and find out the end of this WD-40 thing.
Right,
he's not doing anything.
The buttons on Jasmine's phone are frozen. Maybe. She can't even push the buttons.
Okay, this is kind of a good idea, but no one's going to do it.
Who provides this one, does it say? Because sometimes they attribute them to some source.
No, this is all put together by weather.com.
Oh.
Tired of your floor getting wet when kids come in from the snow? Or adults?
Yep.
Put pebbles in a boot tray.
Fruity pebbles?
Little rocks.
Cocoa pebbles.
Oh, God. Little rocks. Isn't that a rapper?
That's
or a rock and roller.
I don't know.
Put pebbles in a tray and those shoes will drain through the rocks. That's a great idea.
So you'll have
a tray of rocks as you walk in.
All right.
Here's an idea. Just put a towel down there. That's what we do.
Take your shoes off.
Yeah, but you know, when you take your boots off after shoveling,
the snow
and you leave
just
them,
is all over the place.
Right.
Right.
This is crazy, too. Put a hot water bottle or two in your bed just before you climb in, and you won't be getting into a cold bed anymore.
Hot water bottle? Was that from 1946?
They still sell them.
Do they really?
They make them for kids with like little character faces on them and stuff.
Really?
They're little. Yeah, you can still find them.
Oh, I don't think I've seen one since I was a kid. A hot water bottle.
Yeah.
Who are the character faces?
I don't know.
Franklin Roosevelt? His family?
Yes.
The whole Roosevelt family.
To get more grip on a slick surface, place a few zip ties on your bike tires for better traction. Can I tell you?
This isn't the best time to be riding a bike. I see people
but
out on bikes.
You?
Yeah.
I don't even understand how that happens because older tires on your car are going to completely spin around, but at least they have the weight of your car.
Right.
This is a bicycle. How are you getting anywhere?
Saturday night, I was driving home from Arlington, and there was a guy about our age riding a bike, like on the side of the road. It's like 9 o'clock at night, and he's just riding his bike on the side of the road. And I'm like, your timing is not real strong.
All right, we have to try and get a hold of Lou Manfredini to find out about this WD-40, and we have a few more winter weather life hacks. If you have one, 312-981-7200. It's Bill, it's Wendy, it's 720 WGN.
Wendy, look who's on the line. It's Lou Manfredini, here to help.
Well, good. Just in time, Lou, because I'm getting terrible texts. Wendy, if you don't know information, don't say it out loud. I thought that it might be a good idea. Bill's gas door froze, and I said, oh, maybe tonight you should put some WD-40 on it,
yeah,
and it will help tomorrow. However, Lou, that's not a good idea, is it?
Well, no. The garage door, you said?
No, the gas door, for your car.
Yeah, because I have a push button if I want to open up that hatch to put gas in the car, and it froze the other day. I couldn't open it or close it.
Yeah, no, I think what you may have heard me talk about was the garage doors, and people are like, oh, I'm going to spray WD-40 on the track because it gets stuck, you know, and this is when it's going to help free it up, and all that does is trap dirt, and you never want to spray oil on the track of your garage door. What I talked about was you can take a little cotton rag where your door will stick on your car. On Wednesday, if people park their cars outside, it's going to be the type of thing where right now it's kind of warm and it's humid and it's moist outside, so the gasket on the doors is going to get a little wet, and then the deep freeze is going to come, and you're going to go to try and open up your door, and it won't open. If you take a little Pam or mineral oil on a rag and you wipe the gasket,
the rubber part,
on
though.
The door,
yeah,
the rubber part,
yep,
then that can help keep it from sticking, and you may have the desire to fry some eggs with the Pam, but if you use mineral oil, which is probably the preferred way, just a little bit, not much, it doesn't take much, But with the deep freeze coming, a lot of people are going to have issues with their cars, their locks. I mean, a lot of people have, you know, keyless entry now. But even so, if the gasket freezes, you can be yanking on that door, and it's just not going to open up.
Lou, when you say take a little Pam, do you mean Pam Zekman? Because she lives near me.
Pam Zekman, just be careful that you're not breaking the law, because right. then you'll go to jail.
Okay. That's fair.
She is the investigative reporter extraordinaire.
Yes, agreed.
All right, so just to clarify, if you use WD-40 on anything, that will freeze on your car.
No, it's not going to freeze. It's just I was speaking with Steve. You could use WD-40. You could use that. You could use mineral oil. You could use Pam. You just don't need to use a lot of it. Just
margarine?
A little bit on the gasket.
Could I use Fleischmann's?
You could use, I can't believe it's not butter.
Oh,
that's
all right.
Right.
I'll try
that's
some of that.
Favorite.
I got that in my utility belt. And if you do,
you know what? For those people that say, why do you give information if you don't know them? Tell right. them to get their own radio show.
Yeah, good but point, Lou.
Can I just tell you something? A lot of times I put things out there because I look to the listeners to answer the question.
Ab, you don't have to apologize to me, young lady.
Yeah, I know, because I hear your show. I love listening to you.
You know everything, Lou. It boggles the mind how much you know. It's startling.
I do not know everything. I just ask a lot of questions, and I've made a lot of mistakes. Hmm. And, you know, as I mentioned with Steve, the other thing, too, I'll tell people, I'm just coming back from my father-in-law's house, who lives on the north side of the city, who's, you know, a little older. And if you've got people in your lives that, you know, they think they can still handle all this kind of stuff, don't even ask. Just show up and help out if you can, because, you know, there's this snow, while it's not super heavy, it's not something that folks that are a little bit older or maybe are in bad health should be tackling themselves. And today's the day, if you have the ability to do it, to go help. The next couple of days is really going to be hard, and so, you know, we're all going to kind of be shut in with the really, really cold weather.
True. All true.
And Lou recommended letting hot water trickle along with the cold for the next few days. Just a trickle. I heard you on Steve Cochran's show to keep the pipes on those outside walls from freezing, but wouldn't that drain the hot water tank? That's what the question is.
Oh, good question.
Well, no, it is. It's not only the hot water, but the cold. A lot of times people will be like, oh, I'm going to have a little trickle of the cold water. The thing to know is that the pipes that feed your faucets are two separate pipes. And so if you only trickle the cold water, the hot water pipe stays stagnant, and that's the one that could freeze. So you're just taking a little bit of trickle. It will not drain the water heater. You will be wasting water. There's no question about that. And what I've told Steve and Justin this morning was, if you put a pot or a bowl or something under and you can capture some of that, you could give it to your dog or your cat, or you could water your indoor plants, at least with some of that water. But it is way less expensive than a frozen or burst pipe on a day when we're going to get temperatures that, you know, our houses are just not built to handle this kind of cold. And so things are going to happen to your home. Even the people that have never had a problem, oh, my pipes never freeze, blah, 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 blah. Trust me, if there are pipes on an outside wall, this is going to be the test for your home. And having a little bit of trickle on those outside faucets, both the hot and the cold, is a smart move.
Lou, one of my neighbor's pipes burst the other day. They had to dig up their whole front yard to try to fix it. Who has to pay for that, the homeowner or the city?
You know, typically the way it works is when you have a water service coming to a home, there's a thing called a buffalo box. It's basically the valve that divides the city service and the homeowner service.
Yeah.
If the break is on your side of the buffalo box, meaning that it's closer to your house, I mean, it can be 1 inch on the side of that. It's your problem.
Oh, no. And that could cost. I was looking at it because they spent all day. It was six guys and three giant machines. That's going to cost tens of thousands of dollars to fix, right?
Oh, it's a $10,000 proposition without even a turn of the wallet.
Ah.
It's very expensive.
Ugly.
All right, and at this point, we have a shower on that outside wall, and knock on wood, we haven't had a frozen pipe yet, but the drain freezes, and I believe you suggested putting a little kosher salt in that drain, and if you didn't, I'm saying it because it really worked. That won't hurt the drain, will it?
I did not recommend that, but you could use the kosher salt. I like
that. Wendy's Rabbi suggested
it,
Lou.
right, exactly. Wait. Right. You
like what as well? Bill talked over the important part.
You can use any kind of salt you want. It does not have to be kosher, but just in case you have some Jewish friends that are coming over to use the shower, it may be helpful. Yep.
Well, it's just, I mean, I don't care that it's kosher. I don't keep kosher, but when you buy it like that, the granules are bigger, so that's what I was putting in the drain. That won't hurt anything, will it?
It will not.
Look at that.
How about that? Wendy solving problems left and right. Lou, thank you for all your help.
I love you, people.
We love you, too.
More.
Take care of your buffalo box.
I'm on my way to make sure it's nice and warm right now.
I hope so.
We'll hear you Saturday morning.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Bye, Lou.
I love him.
He puts up with us.
A lot of people do. A lot of people
do. He seems too good for that.
Here's something I wondered, and Jim wants to talk to us. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Excellent, Jim.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of information for your cars. You'll notice on trucks and some guys driving down the street in their cars, they got cardboard in front of their grill.
Right.
Okay, well, your car is set with the antifreeze and the thermostat, blah, 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 to go to a certain temperature. But when it gets that cold out, it really might not warm your car up enough. So what you do is you kind of semi-block, not completely block, but maybe three-quarters of the radiator or the cover of the grill with a piece of cardboard.
Yeah.
And what that does is it blocks out the cold, because if they're saying it's going to be like minus 40 below and you're getting in your car that morning, you're coming to work and you're driving at 40 miles an hour, that bumps the temperature up to 60 below zero. And you're trying to figure out why your car won't get warm. It's just not equipped for that kind of cold. So a piece of cardboard with a couple bungee cords or something to just block that frontal blast of cold air will help tremendously.
You know, I saw that, and I thought it was just when your car is parked outside, but I saw people driving with it, and that's what you're suggesting, keep it on there while you drive, correct?
Yeah, while you're driving, when you park your car, you can leave it on there, too. It doesn't hurt nothing, but all it's going to do is block that cold air. The other thing is, I know you've got insurance on your car and that, right?
Right, sure.
Cars or trucks or whatever. Well, leave one door unlocked. That way you don't have to worry about
trying
to get into your car. Usually the car thieves aren't out in that cold of weather, so you really don't have to worry about it.
And if there's a homeless person in there, at least you can take the carpool lane.
Oh, Wendy.
I know we don't have them here, but it worked
problems.
With the joke.
Yeah.
All right, Jim. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, you have one more? You have one more?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Got one more.
Sure.
You say, like, with your locks freezing and everything, what you can get from the hardware store, and I'm surprised Lou didn't talk about it, is what they use for locks is graphite. And it's almost like pencil shaved. It's real fine. What it is graphite. And it's ground graphite. And it comes in like a little spray bottle that you squeeze like a nasal spray type of thing, and you spray that in the lock. But if your locks do freeze, as long as you keep a bottle of heat, the little 59-cent bottle that you put in your gas tank, if you keep a bottle of that with you, keep it outside of the car so that you've got it on hand, like in the car, you can't get in there or your locks are freezing, stick your key partially in the lock, tilt the key upwards, and then pour some of that heat on the key so that it drips down inside the lock. Give it about 10 or 15 seconds. Give it another little shot of it. It doesn't hurt nothing. It won't hurt your fingers. That stuff doesn't freeze, and it'll unthaw your lock.
That's amazing,
brilliant, Jim. Thank you.
And that's what, like 59 cents for a bottle of heat?
Yeah, right. And keep one. Just keep one handy. They do have them where you used to be able to buy them, and they actually stuck to the door of your gas cap. But like you say, if you can't get in there, but just keep one in your purse. You know, just keep one handy outside of your vehicle that you can use, because you can pour it around your rubber seal.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is froze. I don't know what's in that stuff, if it's alcohol or what, but it will thaw your lock.
Excellent. Jim, so helpful. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim. Be careful out there and stay warm.
Wow.
You are just amazed at things in life.
At everything.
You're like,
like
a little boy wonder.
I wouldn't have thought of any of that stuff.
That was good advice.
Yep.
Are you going to go buy some heat?
Yeah, I am.
You are not.
I am. Coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio. That dynamic music, Wendy, can only mean one thing. A chat with our friend Adam Hogue, the Bears insider, who's at the site of the next Super Bowl. Adam, how are you?
Hi, Bill and Wendy.
How are
all
things?
All set up here from Radio Row. It's been pretty good. Warmer than last year when it was in Minnesota, that's for sure.
Yeah.
They think it's cold down here in Atlanta. And, well,
for them,
never,
it is.
Switch places with us.
Out. They will freak out because they don't have the salt trucks and snow plows and things like that. So if they get even a dusting, it is going to be a gridlock city.
They just spray stuff down with Coke.
They're talking about getting an inch of snow here tomorrow. And I'm like, my kid's school got canceled today. All right? Let's settle down.
Stop your complaining. Yeah. Right? All right. So explain for people who don't know what Radio Row is. The week of the Super Bowl, they have this setup there, wherever the Super Bowl is, where radio hosts and some TV hosts from all across the country gather, and then they bring in...
Yeah, like who do they bring in? That's what I want to
know. Former NFL players, celebrities. Oh. Who's in there?
Yeah. See, I mean, it's everybody. I mean... I got a whole list of guys like, let's see. You guys remember Ryan Leaf, who was picked ahead of Peyton Manning? I'm supposed to talk to him tomorrow.
Was he with the Chargers?
He correct.
Yeah.
And Lee Steinberg, who the movie Jerry Maguire is actually based off,
yep.
He's the agent. He's also Patrick Mahomes' agent, so
yep.
I'm excited to talk to him. Tim Jennings, former Bear. Earl Bennett, a former Bear. And then a couple current Bears are going to be here, too. Trey Burton. Is going to be here later in the week. So, I mean, there's a whole... Charles Tillman I'm supposed to talk to later in the week, too. So
you mean FBI agent Peanut Tillman?
Yep.
Yeah, now he might actually be here working since the security is insane. maybe they brought him down here on assignment. I'm not sure.
Agent Peanut. Wouldn't that be a great show?
Bill, tell Adam and the listeners, when he came on at the old studio with us, he couldn't find parking, so...
He parked his car right on Michigan Avenue, and nobody bothered him. He left his car there for at least a half an hour, 35 minutes, right prime real estate on Michigan Avenue, and we kept saying to him, you can't park there, and he said to Wendy and I, yeah, I can. Yeah,
did he leave a note like, this is Peanut's car, I'll be right back?
Does he have one of those unmarked like detective cars?
Oh, not back then.
I don't think he did then. No, just a Peanut Mobile.
I love him so much.
Yeah.
He's just an all-around great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the best, and he does some great charity work. Every time I get a chance to talk to him, it's great to talk football with him, and also his Cornerstone Foundation is really cool. So, and then there's, like, just anybody who's who in, like, media and the NFL is here. You know, I'm sitting next to, the Pro Football Talk from NBC. Their setups here, Sirius XM, the TV station, CBS Sports Network. I mean, it's all kind of set up, all these stages within one giant convention room. Last year, we were in the middle of Mall of America, which was a little awkward.
Right.
I mean, they literally stuffed us into like a lobby area in the middle of the mall. So this year, we're in more of a equivalent of like McCormick Place, and it's a little bit roomier, but it's pretty cool.
A couple of years ago, I was working at a different station, and all the types of guests you just mentioned were there, former NFL players. There was a guy who was a referee, people that made sense. And then the one interview that I liked the most, but I still don't know why he was there, was John Voight.
That is I haven't been had any contact with so-called celebrities yet, but those guys do kind of show up this week.
Well, with John Voight, I even said to him, I guess I get it because you were in Midnight Cowboy and the Cowboys are a football team, so I guess it makes sense. But even he wasn't sure why he was there. It didn't make any kind of sense.
Well, for our listeners to kind of get an idea, pretty much everybody here is promoting something.
Sure.
Or they're tied in with some sponsor, and I'm just throwing out an example, but like, you know, Brian Urlacher might be here talking about Restore, and his hair.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's here plugging something, and then it kind of works both ways because all of us radio stations here, we get some good guests. They get a little bit of promotion out of it for whatever they're plugging, and it really is just a big Super Bowl convention for the entire week. But it's a good time.
And I want to make sure people know that after the bonus hour that Wendy and I do from 12 to 1. On that same stream, you can listen to Adam Hoge. And you're on for an hour, right, every day this week, Adam? Is that right?
Yeah. And I think, unless, you know, I haven't been told, I think we can go longer if
we
need to.
That's what they tell us, but we never do.
No.
Well,
it's too much.
You know, last year, being here at Radio Row, it's, you know, the week always starts slow. Like, today's the slowest day, for sure. And then it's like, oh, this isn't too bad. And then by Wednesday, you're just like slammed, like nonstop, guest after guest after guest. And I'm telling you, it's going to be hard to by the time we get to Wednesday and Thursday, it's going to be really hard to fit it all in 1 hour. So my guess is as we get later in the week, we'll be going longer than that. And it's just we'll have some great guests, and we'll be breaking down the game too. And if there's any Bears angles at all, we'll be talking plenty of Bears. They did re-sign their right tackle, Bobby Massey, over the weekend.
That's good news.
So that'll be a topic for today. And Mark Carman, our friend Mark Carman's hanging around here too.
Oh,
so he's
nice added bonus.
Yeah, he's going to be hanging out with me today as well. So 1 to 2 o'clock on the stream right after you guys.
Adam, how serious are they about auditioning new kickers? They're pretty serious about it, aren't they?
Didn't we sign someone?
Yeah, they did sign a kicker. So basically what this was, because anybody who's even becoming a free agent, like Robbie Gould, for instance, who I think the Bears will make at least have some conversations with, they're not technically free agents until March when the new league year starts.
Mm-hmm.
So those type of players you can't bring in for tryouts or talk to or anything like that just yet. However, anybody who was unemployed this year, you know, some younger guys or like Nick Folk, who's been kicking in the NFL for a while, he was unemployed at the end of the year. So those guys they were able to bring in last week, and my understanding is they had a pretty decent sized kicker tryout. And they ended up signing a kid out of Baylor who didn't have a job last year. My guess is this is just competition right now. But the big question is, if they were to go after Robbie Gould and sign Robbie Gould, well, in that case, you're cutting Cody Parkey. And
you're losing some money, but it might be money well lost.
I think it is. Personally, I think this is the biggest no-brainer signing in the history of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
You have one glaring weakness, and you have the guy who is the franchise leader in points scored for you, Robbie Gould.
Yep.
His name's at the top of the list. He scored more points than any Bear in the history of the franchise, which will be celebrating its 100th season this year.
Wow.
He's available. So you go sign that guy, you fix your biggest weakness, and a guy who knows how to kick at Soldier Field. There won't be any more double doinks. He might miss a kick here and there, but it's not going to be a glaring problem like it was. And this team is going to come into Bourbonnais in training camp in July, and it's Super Bowl or bust, really, for this team. So they better fix this kicker. So, you know, signing a kid out of college, that's not the
solution. A kid who also had a double doink.
Yeah, but it went in.
I just like saying double doink.
Yeah, he did?
It went.
Is that becoming our tagline or trademark now?
Home of the double doinks.
I've heard commercials on the radio.
I know.
From car dealers that are doing like double doink specials. It's insane.
So does Cody Parkey work anywhere else? Does he get picked up by anyone?
Maybe. I mean, probably. He's
Whole
still
Foods
young.
With Eldon.
But
that's where he'll be working.
Yeah.
Or Trader Joe's. Where was it? Trader Joe's.
The NFL's really unpredictable sometimes. You know, there's guys who you think are for sure going to get a job.
Yeah.
And then they just never do.
Yep.
And then there's others. I'm interested. There was so much talk about the Today Show interview. Obviously, it didn't help him with the Bears. I think he thought it would help him with other teams.
Maybe.
Kind of, you know, have this, like, redemption story. I'm not sure, so sure it did, because if the Bears are upset because it was not a we thing, it was a me thing, well,
right.
Other teams don't want that
no.
either. So I don't think he did himself any favors.
Nope. I'm with you all the way. What's the spread for Sunday's game right
Who's
now?
Who's playing, by the way?
Well, the Patriots and the Rams are going to play.
Come on, Wendy.
I knew that. Well, the Patriots always play.
The Patriots are always
there.
And
the LA Rams.
Right. Next year's ticket already says the Patriots on the ticket. It's the Patriots and the Rams, and the spread is what, Adam?
The spread the last time I checked was the Patriots are a 3-point favorite, which was interesting because the Rams actually opened up as a 1-point favorite, and it swung very, very quickly. And I'm just checking right now at the Westgate in Las Vegas. It's down to 2.5. So the Patriots are 2.5-point favorites, just under that, you know, the the big number of three, as they like to say in the gambling world.
Who, if you were to bet, I know that you don't because it's wrong, it's morally wrong, it's illegal, but if you were going to bet, who would you bet on at a 2.5-point spread?
Yeah, I think right now, because the Rams are getting the points, I'd go with the Rams.
Would you?
I've liked the Rams all year. In fact, my preseason Super Bowl prediction was the Rams beating the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure this is the closest I've ever gotten to being anywhere near correct on a preseason Super Bowl prediction.
Yeah.
So I think at this point I kind of got to ride with them. I've liked the Rams all year long. You hate going against Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl.
Smiley? Smiley Bill?
Oh, yeah. He's just a joy to be around.
Sure,
guys.
He is.
He really is.
Sure, he is.
But Sean McVay actually is.
Yeah. So, he seems like a good guy.
And Adam, we had something come up on this show, and we were unclear of what happens. The whole Tom Brady deflated balls thing. We were talking about, he's a cheater, that's all I'm going to say. Yeah. Mm. But now, do the teams use their own balls when they hit the field? How does that work?
Yes, actually they do.
Ha-ha, Bill.
Yeah. So each team has ball guys, for lack of a better term, and they carry around like a bag, and the bag is filled with their footballs for their specific team, and there's one on each sideline. So there's somebody who's in charge of the Patriots' footballs on the Rams' sideline throughout the game. So whichever, is closest on each play, they quickly get the ball in, and then they find the ball that just came out of play. And so those footballs are all supposed to be inflated, to the exact specifications. There's a small range. I don't remember the exact PSIs that we all went through with Deflategate a few years ago. But they're all supposed to, they're all checked before the game. And it's up to the teams to manage those footballs and make sure they get in and out of the game properly.
Why is it up to the teams individually and not like a more neutral governing body? Wouldn't that make more sense? Then you don't have to worry about something like this happening?
Well, again, like they're checked before the game.
Yeah.
So,
but then during the game, somebody could inflate or deflate them if they wanted to, right?
Which is why this was a controversy.
Yeah.
And, there's a certain trust factor there that you're not going to mess with the football during a game. And if you get caught, then
I'm surprised
punishment.
It never happened before. I really
maybe
am.
It had.
Maybe it had.
I guess.
And maybe this was a bigger thing than we ever knew. But the reality is, I think this is why Tom Brady got the 4-game suspension he did when it was all said and done. The league had to make a point that, there's so much they're regulating but in these games. You
right.
should be able to trust the teams to keep the balls properly inflated. And so if you violate it, they're going to come hard on the most well-known player in the league. And I don't think it's really been an issue since.
How much of a hand do you think Vladimir Putin had in this, Adam?
At least a 5% chance.
5%?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I mean, usually these days he's more like involved like 20%.
But not this time. It's only 5. Adam, thank you so much for sharing some insight about Super Bowl week there in Atlanta. And again, your first broadcast is today right after our bonus hour on the stream, right?
Absolutely. 1:00, right after you guys. So I'll talk to you guys in a couple hours. And I'm sure we'll be in touch throughout the week as well.
I hope so.
Thanks, Adam.
Have a good time out there. Adam Hoag, our Bears insider, out in Atlanta for the Super Bowl.
And you're our Bears outsider?
I'm the Bears way outsider. Way outside. We'll take a little break, and then there's more of us, Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. Again, you can listen to Adam Hoag as he reports from Atlanta all this week. It's right after our bonus hour on the stream. At some point during our stream visit today, we probably talked a little bit about last night's Golden Globe Awards. I don't know if you got to see them or
the
not.
The SAG Awards?
SAG, yeah.
Yeah, the SAG Awards, right. Golden Globe Awards.
I saw bits and pieces of it.
What'd you think?
I'm kind of burnt on awards
on
shows.
On awards show
right now.
Already?
Yeah. I know this is pre-Oscars, but
yeah.
There are too many all in a row. They should spread them out a little bit. Then, when you're hankering for an awards show, you got
There's
one coming.
One. Yeah.
It's
not only that there's too many, but it seems like it's the same people and movies nominated for all the award
winners.
Shows. Slightly different. You saw a little bit a different outcome yesterday.
Megan Mullally. I don't know how to say her name. Is that it?
Megan, yeah. You've got it.
She's great.
She hosted. She wasn't on much. She was on at the very beginning, a little bit in the middle, and at the very end, and that was about it. She was hardly on at all.
Dean was explaining that. It's like she was on and then she wasn't back on for 45 minutes.
Usually you have the host, you know how they have separate people come out and introduce the categories.
They don't
normally the host does that. They didn't, it was a voiceover announcement this time around.
Was it that lady I love?
No, from the Oscars? It was a different lady. It's a different lady. I am starting to buy into Hollywood's new cutest couple. Do you know who they are?
No.
That would be John Krasinski of The Office and Emily Blunt. Everybody's been saying for the last few weeks, they're America's favorite couple now. And I'm like, I'm not sure they are. But then last night I went, no, I'm wrong. They are America's favorite couple now.
Well, she thanked her hubby.
Well, really every sweet. Time they do anything in public, that's what they do is they gush about each other. And that's what you're supposed, if you're them, that's
other
what you
people
do.
People get sick of the gushing.
Oh, I don't get sick of the gushing. I enjoy the gushing. I want more gush. I call them and I say, please, gush it up. I'm watching. I want to see some gush.
Gush it up.
Gush it up for the kids.
They are pretty darn cute.
Yeah, and both of them very, very talented, you know.
I didn't know what life would be after Jim from The Office.
Right. You thought maybe he might get kind of pigeonholed as playing that guy? No, he's Jack Ryan and
I know.
His movie.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, he's doing okay. He's doing fine. A lot is being made of Michael B. Jordan's
I didn't see that.
Sling.
I gotta look that up.
He's wearing
a sports bra, Dean never, said it kind of looked like.
Yeah, it kind of does look like that. It was never fully explained why he was wearing that. When you first saw him, you thought, well, he's obviously been in some sort of an accident. I don't know what happened, but he's got a sling on. But that wasn't the case at all. It's a very peculiar look.
Okay, I will look for that.
There's also a trend now with these kind of tuxedos where they're not just one color. There's kind of a design on them.
I love that.
I'm not sure.
Well, sure, because
I don't know. I want a traditional tuxedo. When I'm wearing a tux, Wendy, I want people to either think I'm a maitre d' or James Bond. I don't want people to wonder, what's on your tuxedo? Why is there butterflies on your tuxedo?
Well, some of them are just too embellished. It's like they took a bedazzler and put something on it.
Yeah.
But then other, like I like the like paisley print or something. I think it's really cool. It's just an update on a traditional look.
Do you know who Darren Criss is?
Peter Criss's brother?
No, he's not related to Peter Criss at all. He used to be on Glee, and then he just played Andrew Cunanan.
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy in the Versace thing.
Yeah, he's in that.
He's so good.
He's a very good actor, very talented guy. But he keeps wearing tuxedos that I'm not sure how to describe them. They are tuxedos. They look like tuxedos, but they always have a design all over them. They're like from another. They're like if tuxedos were in another dimension.
Yeah.
You know?
That might be too much. My new crush, Timothy Chalamet, had one of those bibs on, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's just it was.
What do you like about him, Mrs. Robinson?
Oh, my God. I saw Beautiful Boy, and he is a great actor, and he's just adorable.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yep. You don't have to be sorry. That's all right.
Cuckoo-ca-choo.
I did see his posters in your office this morning.
Shut
that was
up,
an interesting
Bill. That was not interesting, for air.
Interesting look. All right, we'll take a break. Or we're just going straight to news?
Yeah.
Straight to news.
Yeah. Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Let me tell you something, Wendy. Everybody's complaining about the snow and the weather, too afraid to travel. Not Eric Zorn. He's not afraid of anything. He's not scared.
He's on the phone today.
Oh, he's on the phone. I thought he was here.
I'm on the phone today.
Oh. Forget what I said then. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Eric.
I totally wimped out, man. I got up this morning. I saw that snow. I said, nope, I'm not going in.
It was an instant decision. You looked from your window, from inside. You looked out the window and just went, this is not for me. I can't do this.
Well, I actually did go out to shovel, and I was shoveling, and it was really coming down. So.
Oh, no.
Hey, I heard that you guys have been recording our conversations. Is that true?
I don't know. It's possible. Why?
I just thought we were having. I thought we were just talking every week, and now no. I hear that maybe they've been recorded. I don't know what's on these.
You have nothing to worry about. There's no reason to worry. No reason to worry.
Man.
All right, I want to start out with something pretty serious, and that's the Jason Van Dyke sentencing. You've written about it. You're thinking about it. What's going on there, Eric?
Well, it's really interesting because Attorney General Kwame Raoul is considering an appeal of this sentence that Jason Van Dyke got. And if you remember, it was the 18th of January, that Friday afternoon, and they gave Van Dyke a sentence that will amount to him spending about three more years in prison before he's let go in the shooting death of Laquan McDonald. And people are saying, well, is Raul overstepping his bounds? What's the basis that he's doing this on? And the answer is sort of interesting, which is that if you remember, Van Dyke was convicted. This is the police officer of second degree murder, mm-hmm. and also 16 counts of aggravated battery with a firearm. And so there was this, you know, possibility that he was going to serve 96 years in prison or something like that. Well, so the judge gets on the stand. He says, well, it turns out that second degree murder under the law is a less serious crime than aggravated battery with a firearm. And
it doesn't sound like it would be that way.
It doesn't sound like it would be that way, but it is, and I think it reflects some back in the 80s and this desire we had to really attack gun crime. And so the judge says, you know, this is crazy because this means that if somebody, you know, comes at you with a gun and shoots and hits your pinky finger, he called it your baby finger, then that's a more serious crime than if he murders you in the second degree. And second degree murder is what happens, the charge you get when you kill somebody because you're afraid, you think they're posing a threat to you, but they actually don't. That mm-hmm. fear is unreasonable. So anyway, he goes, well, this is clearly absurd. The second degree murder charge is the charge that should apply here, not these aggravated battery with a firearm. Therefore, I'm going to sentence him based on the second degree murder, which is a lesser charge. It carries a lesser sentence. And he sentenced him on the lower end of that sentencing range. So,
Eric, a question, though. Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
He was tried for both those crimes, for both aggravated battery and second degree murder, correct?
Yes.
So if he was tried for them and found guilty for them, why wouldn't you be sentenced for them?
Well, he was actually tried for murder, and the second degree is the finding of the jury. They consider first degree murder, and then they diminish it to second degree murder. And the answer is that we have a doctrine in the courts here, the rule that you think of is sort of like one crime, one offense, mm-hmm. basically, is the idea, which is like, when you can't, like, if you stab somebody six times, that shouldn't be six different crimes. That's one crime. You're stabbing them.
Other people who have been found guilty of various crimes have had to pay for both, right? It's not unprecedented that that's how it plays out, right?
It wouldn't be. You're right. And the thing that's peculiar is that there is this wrinkle in the law. Like, it's kind of crazy that aggravated battery with a firearm is a more serious crime. And it turns out that the Illinois Supreme Court has considered this in a 2004 case out of Springfield, where a guy was convicted. He shot somebody who he thought was threatening him but wasn't. He was sentenced to 20 years for the murder and 15 years served concurrently for the aggravated battery. And the guy appealed to the courts, and he said, well, wait a minute. We've got these two crimes. They're the same for the same incident. I should be sentenced on the second degree murder charge because that is I was sentenced to second degree murder. I should be sentenced on the aggravated battery with a firearm because that is the more serious crime in the legislature. And that's what the court found. The court said in that ruling, and it's called People versus Lee, and Judge Gaughan from the bench cited this case. But he cited a dissent in the case. In doing this, the actual opinion says, look, if you've got these two crimes, we've got to look to what the legislature says. And right. The legislature says, whether it makes sense to us or not, the legislature says that the aggravated battery with a firearm is more serious. If Attorney General Raul does pursue this and does get this verdict, the sentence overturned, they would have to sentence him on the aggravated battery with a firearm, which is it carries a 6 to 30 year sentence, and you have to serve 85% of that.
But do they do they end up retrying the case if that happens?
No, they just review the sentence.
Okay.
And part of this also led me into this other thing that's been bothering me lately, which is that when we report this sentence, if you remember that when the news came out about the sentence, everyone said, you know, he gave him almost 7 years, he gave him 81 months. And in truth, when you sentence someone in second degree murder, this is one of these crimes for which you get day for day good time. It's called good time, you know, where you they sentence you to 6 years, you only serve three.
Is good time the right term to use for this? I'm not sure it is.
I don't think it is actually the right term to use. That's kind of the term of art.
Yeah.
Essentially, you get good time credit as long as you don't actively misbehave. It's not like you're in the prison sewing clothes for the poor,
right,
or you know, teaching literacy classes. You're not doing anything. You're just not breaking more rules.
Yeah. Right.
So my argument would be that when you're sentenced, when you're given a sentence of, in this case, 81 months, that the actual sentence, the time he's going to serve in prison for, you know, pending review, the time he's going to serve in prison for shooting and killing Laquan McDonald is going to be 40 months, 40 and a half months.
You get a discount. You get a time discount, don't you?
For good behavior.
Yeah.
Well, but good behavior just means that you're not actively breaking rules. You know, you're not, and in fact, you know, you may be breaking little rules, but you're not like, you know, throwing urine at a guard or beating people up or something like that. It doesn't happen all that often that people get their good time taken away.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a carrot and stick, and I understand that they need it, and it's probably fine that they have the option to extend the sentence without going back to a whole new trial. But I think that when we're talking about it in the media, I think it's really important to say that what the sentence, that the time that Jason Van Dyke is going to serve in prison for this crime is going to be 3 years and 4 months, I guess it is. So anyway,
how about that?
All right, I'm on my horse about this.
I can hear the horse. I can hear it. Eric Zorn is here and his horse is here. We'll continue our conversation next. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
It's Bill F., it's Wendy Snyder, and we are talking to the Chicago Tribune's Eric Zorn. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Wendy.
Eric, the mayoral race is getting closer and closer in terms of time. What can you tell us? Any updates?
Well, everyone that I've been talking to about this remains undecided. I've talked to a lot of people, and they've got a couple of candidates they like. They're not sure of. I've never felt this in an election like this before. I've never felt like it's so incredibly fluid. You see polls out there. I guess Tony Preckwinkle is slightly up in the recent polls, but it seems really fluid underneath that. And we had a conversation at work the other day. We were sort of going around like, "Who do you like for mayor? Just give me one name. If you had to vote today." And only one person in this group could just give one name. Everyone said, well, maybe him, maybe her. I mean, everyone wanted to give two names. And so finally we changed the rules and you could give two names because nobody had settled on a name. I mean, you know, it's a tough choice. And my feeling is that it's good because I think there are some really qualified people running. I think this is kind of a little bit of an embarrassment of riches. These are good people who are running, people who are smart, who thought a lot about the issues. And, but you know, there are 14 candidates.
Yep.
And the news came out about the fact that not only was Solis wearing a wire, but Alderman Burke has had his phones tapped for the last couple of years. And some of these candidates have had significant interaction with one or both of those men. And we just don't know. It's going to be weird. We may elect a mayor and then find out a couple months from now when the recordings come out that they're involved in some hinky business with some people. So it's one of these things where in some ways we're going to have to take a chance. Who we vote for. So it's really a fascinating and very fluid situation. Are you picking that up when you talk to people?
Oh, very much so. And I'm wondering what has to happen from a strategy standpoint if you're one of the candidates, knowing that it's so close, it's so neck and neck with just a couple of weeks to go. Does somebody do something kind of daring? Does somebody jump out in front and do something to get more attention? What do you think?
Well, they might. I mean, no one has really gone strongly negative yet. There've been some attacks, but I think as the field boils down, you sort of realize they're going to be like the top six people, and people are looking for who's going to occupy what lane.
Right.
At some point, you're going to have to knock somebody off their perch. You're going to have to really go on the attack. We haven't seen a whole lot of that yet. We've seen a lot of image boosting. If you look at the ads, and you know, Bill Daley's all over the TV with his ads, but those have been every ad I've seen anyway. From him has been, I love this city, I'm hugging people,
yeah.
I've got all these great plans, I'm going to freeze your taxes and all that. But I haven't heard him say, you know, going after, say, Tony Preckwinkle or Susana Mendoza or Gary Chico or these people who are seem like they might be likely candidates. So So it's one of these situations where you are kind of waiting for some news to break or someone to pop through the clutter and really make an impression. But it sort of hasn't happened, and I don't know how clued in people are to all the policy positions. These guys are debating all the time. I'm supposed to moderate a mayoral debate next week. I didn't even know it was happening, and then they reminded me that I had to do it. I was like, okay, it's at a high school up in the Northwest Side. So these guys, these candidates, are just all over the place. They're always talking to people, always debating each other. People are still really making up their minds. I moderated an aldermanic debate last week, and I asked the aldermanic candidates who are on the stage here in the 39th ward. I said, who do you like for mayor? And I let them have two names, and they had the same thing. They're like, well, I don't know. And they
really?
And they were like hemming and hawing, and I like this guy, and I like her, but I'm not sure. And these are aldermanic candidates. So you shouldn't feel bad if you haven't made up your mind yet, because even the people who are living and breathing politics every single day are feeling the same way.
Eric, does anybody care about the Susana Mendoza's thing where the video was leaked that she was running for mayor and she hadn't talked about it, and then lo and behold, she's running for mayor? Does anyone care?
I don't think so. I think that is an old story by now. I think the thing people are more worried about is that, you know, she had a wedding ceremony at the house of Alderman Burke, and that she has been tied to him for many years and has considered him a mentor. She's also fairly tied to Speaker Madigan. I mean, I've always liked Susana. I think she's spunky, and I like the way she took on Bruce Rauner. I think a lot of people have questions about how much of an insider she's going to be, whether she's just going to be, you know, a continuation of the same insider politics. I think that's more the thing that's going to be dogging her at this point.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that, you know, we have the same questions about Tony Preckwinkle.
Yeah.
You know, she stuck by the assessor Joe Berrios when he was really under fire, very unpopular, and people saying, well, you know, if you're such a progressive, why were you sticking by this guy who was overseeing this property tax system that was hurting so many poor people? So people are questioning her bona fides also.
If I could get a refund on my property tax,
vote?
Yeah.
That's how we
is that legal?
Yeah.
Wow.
And also the fact that Wendy doesn't live in Chicago, but still somehow votes for a Chicago mayor. I don't know how she does it, but she does it.
That's how it works. That's how it all works.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's one of these situations where I think every week it's new, and people are up or down in individual sentiments. So it's a really interesting time.
Let me get in a quick national question. The government shutdown is coming to an end. However, people are wondering if it's just a temporary halt, if we're going to have another one in the middle of February. What do you think? Will we or won't we?
No, we will not have another shutdown. I guarantee that. Trump is not that dumb. This shutdown was disastrous for him politically, and his everything was falling apart on that. That's not going to happen. He may, however, declare a state of emergency,
right?
Which, you know, it's one of the most slow rolling emergencies I've ever seen. And
what would that do then?
Well, he would be able to use military funds and other funds. He'd be able to free them up to address the situation the same way, to build a wall, the same way that you could, you know, when there is an actual emergency, like a hurricane rips through New Orleans or Houston, you can also devote emergency resources to that. You don't have to go to Congress and pass a bill. The problem that you have with that is that if that's your definition of an emergency, which is this long-standing problem on the border that they want to address, and he's not getting his way, you could use the emergency declaration to deal with health care or climate change or gun legislation, anything. So it's something that a lot of people have been warning Trump, including conservative Republicans, about doing this, because once you set the precedent that you know, the president of the United States can declare an emergency because he can't get his way politically, it's very dangerous. But I think that's what he's setting up for in 3 weeks.
Interesting.
Oh, it's not interesting.
It's interesting.
It's terrible.
I didn't say good or bad interesting, just interesting.
I guess.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. Eric, stay home. Do not come in today.
I will come in next week, though.
Come in next week.
I promise.
All right.
We'll be at home next week. We should just do that to mess with him.
I'll have the best tweets of January next month.
Okay. Excellent. Looking forward to it.
Right.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Eric Zorn, everybody. A quick break and then more show coming up, The Stories That Matter, with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.